Good afternoon, members of the media. Called this press conference this afternoon to update you on the reef situation, as well as to have just a brief, I guess, discussion or give the media some information in relationship to the unemployment that continues to, I guess, plague Bermuda. Firstly, let me say it's been about a month now, probably 5 weeks, since the reef's maintenance staff was dismissed, which means that three of them were made redundant. We have been in meetings with the current minister, Minister Minas, of Economy, Trade, and Industry, and I can tell you that as of last week, the decision is that the three workers are going to remain redundant, and that means that three more Bermudians are out of work. Now, let me say that it's extremely concerning to BIU that the management team has told the minister that the particular category in question, which is the maintenance handyman or general maintenance person, is no longer required at the reef, so the position has been made redundant. Let me just say this to the employers, and you have to be very careful when you make a position redundant, because once the position is made redundant, it can't be filled by anyone else. If you make a person redundant, then somebody else can go back and do that particular job. The reefs have told the minister that the position has been made redundant. We are very concerned that, as we said before, there are three Bermudians that are capable of doing that job. One in particular who has a very high skill set. He's been at the, as we said before, at Mr. Double Junior's house, doing tiling and a number of other things. So he has quite a bit of skills. So said they, in the respect labor relations, where we have, you know, a general maintenance position that can't be filled by Bermudian, and that has to be very concerning for the country. It's still very concerning for the union, so much so that we've asked our workers to pay attention, because, you know, it doesn't take much skill to change a light bulb or to do general maintenance work at any particular hotel property. So not very pleased with the outcome of this situation, that the situation couldn't have been, and we'll say a 2-to-1, meaning maybe two migrant workers, two Bermudians would have lost their job, and maybe one work permit would have been withheld by the minister. So, as I said, not pleased with that situation. And I think this leads on to my next discussion as relates to how Bermudians have fared and as relates to the economic climate, particularly when we look at the labor market indicators that was released just recently. Probably, if you all don't have a copy of it, I got a copy put on my desk on Friday. And those numbers are very concerning, and very concerning that the Bermuda industry continues to be extremely concerned about the unemployment of Bermudians, so much so that we've had the situation at the reefs. And then we have the numbers that were released particularly for 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010, where we see, of course, Bermudians in the workplace in 2007, it was 27,272 Bermudians. Yet in 2010, the number's now down to 26,246. Don't know what the numbers will look like for 2011. Remember, these are 2010 numbers. So we still have the 2011 numbers that have to be reported. But what I would say to you is that from 2008, 2009, and 2010, we've seen a reduction in the Bermudian workforce for total jobs, 92 in 2008, 391 in 2009, and 542 in 2010. An overall reduction of about 3.75% of workers, median workers in the workforce. The reason why I'm making these numbers near to the media, because what has happened over this period of time is that the number of median spouses and also the permanent residents have not suffered the same fate as the Bermudian worker. The reason I say that to you is because when we look at the number of median spouses, they have increased by 14 workers in 2008, and as I tell you, Bermudian workers declined by 92 in that year. In 2009, they increased by 36. Bermudian workers declined by 391. And in 2010, of course, they have a slight decline of 13. Not a big decline, but still a decline. But when we look at the overall percentage for them over this period of time, they've actually grown by 1.9%, where the median workforce has shrunken by 3.75%. Now, one other category I want to mention is the permanent residents. And this group has not been affected much by the recession, in that in 2008, they actually increased by 710 workers, or about 18.35%. In 2009, they increased by 97 workers, or roughly about 13.65%. In 2010, they declined by one worker, just one. So as you can see, the overall increase over this period of time is 31.88%. So where you have the median worker declining by 3.75%, we have the permanent residents actually faring extremely well over that same period of time. Now, to be fair, we also have the labor market indicators as relates to all the other number of units that are in the workforce. And in 2007, we had 10,037 of those workers. In 2009, it went up to 10,367. So it did go up a bit by 330 workers, or roughly about 3.25%. However, in 2009, 2010, we have a decline in that area. Particularly in 2009, we had a decline of 435 workers, or about 4.1%. And in 2010, they declined by 867, and that was a pretty big percentage increase, which was a decline of about 8.7%. So the overall increase over that, or decrease in that particular sector over the period of time has been 9.55%. So it's very concerning right now when we have situations like the reefs, and we have these numbers right here, where Bermudians are saying that, you know, whether it's a plumber, whether it's a skilled plumber, a skilled laborer, or a skilled mason, or a general handyman, that Bermudian can fill these particular position. And as we've said, and we'll continue to say, that, and we're going to pass this information on to the minister, because I think it's something that, you know, the numbers really need to be broken down as to what is happening to the Bermudian workforce, and how, you know, other sectors, and I said it to you, we have the number of median spouses and the permanent residents faring well better than Bermudians in this current economic climate, and that should not be happening. Questions?
Is there anything else the BIU can do in the reef situation? Have you got any plans to do anything else?
Well, just know that, you know, we have the clause in the agreement book where, you know, calls for redundancies, it calls for layoffs, right? My understanding from the staff up there is that, you know, they've been having these department meetings, and they've been told by management that none of the maintenance staff is going to be laid off over the closure, because we did say to you, and I think the reason management said that the hotel is going to close from, I think, around July 2nd until March the 13th. And over that period of time, while all the other staff, because remember now, the hotel side is going to close, but the club side is going to remain open. So whilst all the staff, you know, that the record there is, particularly on the hotel side, are going to be subject to layoff over this probably 10-week period, the maintenance staff are going to work right through this whole 10-week period, so they're not even going to be subject to any layoff. So it's very concerning that we could have basically, and our suggestion was that we understand that from the employer's point of view, that the department was overstaffed, because they had said that the budget for the department was 8 and they overstaffed it by 11. So we understand the need for them to bring it back down to 8. But we said to them, why did it have to be the hill to be 3 Bermudians that had to be made redundant? And you couldn't just make maybe 2 Bermudians redundant, and maybe one of the work permits for one of the guest workers maybe shouldn't have been renewed.
So just to be clear on this,
sure.
The staff who are there, the 8 who are left.
Mm-hmm. We have 2 Bermudians out of the 8 staff that left, 2 are Bermudians. One, I want to say it's a painter, and the other one is an air conditioning person.
But none of the others then, so the 6 who are non-Bermudians,
yep.
They're not doing that general maintenance.
I'm not sure who's going to do that general maintenance work, but I bet the hotel, and this is the one to the hotel, be very careful about who does that general maintenance work.
Yeah.
Be very careful.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yes, that's what they said.
Non-Bermudians were kept on board. But you said they did some work that proved that they were skilled workers. Mm-hmm. So who's
Well, as we said to the hotel, and we've got to be very careful how we use, and this is the BIU's terminology, so I don't want anybody to take it out of context, that management needs to be very careful how we say that a worker is skilled one day and not skilled the next day. I haven't heard any complaints about the work that was done at David Double Jr.'s house in respect to, you know, the tile, and whether it was not done correctly or whatever have you. Haven't heard none of those complaints. This work was done probably 3 or 4 months ago. And then they also done the water catchment, and they told the workers, you either do the water catchment or we're going to put you on layoff. So the workers did call the BIU for some advice, and they went to do the water catchment. Now, you know, that also calls for a call to, and I'm not sure exactly what had to be done. Maybe the management team or one of the other staff members up there that assisted in the water catchment can tell you exactly what was entailed to get that work done. But, you know, you had to, it required a certain skill to do that work. And when we made that point to management, they just downplayed it. Well, yeah, they done the work. But, you know, still say that the workers are not skilled. And the union took great exception that you know, for lack of a better word, it looked like people are being used. You can use me to do some skill work. Now when it comes to time for you to have a redundancy or layoff, you're telling me I don't have any skill. That's why I'm going to be put out the door.
You said that you wanted the minister to see these numbers and you wanted greater explanation on the numbers. Right now, it's very generic. I mean, we're talking, the government has been talking about the unions not being skilled enough for certain positions within the captive insurance industry. And the way that some hotels are now coming up with psychometric testing, it's culturally biased against the unions because it is a North American test.
But which hotels are we referring to? Because I want to be clear. Is there only two hotels I'm aware of that has this test, right?
Well, yeah. The Princess Hotel.
Right, that's what we're talking about, yeah.
I mean, has government, who have made many concessions to this employer, contacted this employer after all of these job fairs that we have,
yes,
and said, listen, the psychometric test has to be adjusted to Bermudian culture?
Well, let me say that I know that we've had conversations with, I know that even Herbie Baskin, the chief shop steward and president of the hotel division, along with members of his team, has had a meeting with the premier probably maybe 4 or 5 months ago concerning this test. We've mentioned it to the new minister, the Honorable William Ferbert. We've also mentioned it to the outgoing minister, which is Patrice Miners, about this test, because what we are very concerned about, that it appears that, you know, the test, to some degree, is very biased. And the reason why we say that to you is because when we asked the hotel if he can have a copy of the test, we were getting ready to be given a copy of the test when the regional human resource person told the hotel, Fairmont and Hamilton, not to give us the test. What is there to hide? Because what I also understand about this test is that there is a father and son that apply for work at the hotel. And here's what we find very, very interesting. The father filled out both the forms. Okay, the son never touched none of the forms. The son was hired. The father was not hired. How do they explain that? So these are the kind of things that we need to be very careful about. And as we said, you know, and I think we made the analogy when they talked about changing the postal system and comparing it to New Zealand and a few other ones. And all we said, what you have to do is make sure whatever you're going to do, you compare it to what Bermuda, because Bermuda's a small country, and what works in America, not to say that it's going to work here in Bermuda. We drew the same example with the postal situation. Just because it works in New Zealand, ain't no guarantee it can work in this country. We need to make sure we come up with a system that works and works well for everybody. And so the challenge that we have with this test, and we've made our comments just recently, we met with the new minister, Ian Ferbert, to tell him we are concerned about this test because it appears that, you know, even people that work within the Fairmont properties now, if I work in Department A and I try to go get a transfer to Department B, the test tells me that you're not a good fit. How? I mean, explain. Somebody needs to tell us exactly what's going on. So your point is valid, but we're doing everything that we can to address these concerns as relates to this test and making sure that Bermudians are not being, you know, not able to get a job in one of the two Fairmonts as a result of not being able to pass this test.
Where did these numbers come from?
These numbers right here came from the government statistical numbers. This is from the labor, the government statistical department, the labor market indicators numbers. These are real.
Doesn't really make sense to have such generalized numbers when the government and employers are talking about specified places where Bermudians are not qualified. Does it make sense to get such generalized?
Yeah, it does, because what you have to understand is that, you know, this report is just gives you the overall numbers. But if you go back and get the thorough report, it gives you all the 18 divisions within Bermuda, and it gives you the number of people that work in all those divisions. So, you know, whether you're dealing with agriculture, you're dealing with retail, it gives you all the breakdown of all the people that work in those sectors. So this is a good guideline. All you need to do is take this and match it up with all those 16 major industries. Well, I mean, it could be a number of reasons, right? And, you know, you heard the comment that Bermudians are lazy and all this kind of stuff, but I'm going to say this, and I don't think I'm going to go wrong. By and large, Bermudians are not lazy, you know. When you look at the 400-year history that this country has, it's been built by labor. So rather people think that capital is A or capital is B. First of all, capital cannot exist without labor. So if anybody thinks that it can, well, I'd like to see, you know, who's going to run a company all by themselves. They've got to either go get somebody, some kind of resources to help them do A or help them do B. So the mere fact that, you know, that labor exists, recognizing that, you know, people do have favorites for A, B, C, or D, I think the only point that I can make to you on that, look what happened, what was it, 2 weeks ago? It might have been the week of November the 11th. Where the minister actually, or the immigration department actually caught some illegal workers here at a site in St. George's, where somebody was here on vacation and they was down there installing kitchen cabinets. And then at a site in Hamilton, I understand that they caught some more Canadian workers that were basically didn't have a work permit. And it looks like, you know, and we've said it, and we'll continue to say it, that probably 15 or 20% of the employers in this country are not doing the things that they, the correct things, because they try to fly underneath the radar. And that 15%, you know, maybe needs to be, I guess, more of a more sterner warning to them in respect to if they get caught, because the BIU's position is that when those two sites were caught with illegal workers, they should have been shut down. That's what should have happened. The minister should have shut those two sites down, whether it was for a week or a month, to teach that employer a lesson. But as long as you're going to, you know, have these things happen, they'll pay their little fine and they'll continue to trot on. And at some point in time, we've got to put our foot down and say enough is enough. Because when you have a situation where unemployment is either at 6, 7, 8, 9%, whatever the overall number is, that's very concerning that employers will still look to do these kind of things, to fly into the radar and exploit, whether it's a migrant worker or exploit a Bermudian, and that in 2011 should not be happening.
So you're really asking?
I'm asking for everybody to be much more tougher. And I think I've made the call once before. I want to make the call again that, you know, whatever work permits are got to be issued to any employer in this country, I would like to be before the government issues one work permit, that for now, all work permits should be put on hold until Bermudians are seeing fit to get a fair share in the workplace. And once that has been done, then and only then should we reopen any work permits for any migrant workers. I understand the need for migrant workers to be here. We have, as we said, we have too many jobs here for Bermudians to fill. If you look at the latest number here, I think it's 39, could be 38,097. I think that's the number they gave in this last report. It's 38,097. So we don't have 38,097 Bermudians to fill them jobs. We may have 27. We may have 28,000 Bermudians. But we don't have the other 9,000. So we need to have that the migrant worker to assist with our economy. We need to have them there. I'm saying to you that basically any work permits that should be issued, there should be more justification for a work permit to be issued in light of the fact that we have so many Bermudians unemployed.
Are you talking about in like white collar?
I'm talking about any area. First of all, we have people that probably lost their jobs in exam companies, that lost their job in banks. We have people who have been accountants, lawyers, and all these sort of people who have lost their job over the past 2 years. So, you know, while you think that they may not have a qualified Bermudian out there, first of all, you don't know until you advertise, until you start the interviewing process. But we can't just take it for granted that the skills that you're looking for don't exist. While you might have made that claim 5 years ago, you cannot make that claim today. You simply cannot.
So you want a moratorium on work permits?
The BIU would like to see a moratorium on work permits, yes.
Father Chris, the dirty double secret that comes out, Bermudians feel entitled.
Okay.
How do you address your membership in dealing with the employer looking down at the Bermudian with the sense of feeling like, oh, well, y'all community, so you're just entitled to this job?
Well, let me say that, you know, as far as somebody being entitled to a job, I think, first of all, the community has the right to apply for the job. They must go in and of course, present themselves correctly. But just to say that because I'm Bermudian, that job belongs to me, no, the union will not support that categorically. But we still say that, you know, there should be fairness in selecting a candidate for a particular job. And provided that, you know, everything is done in order that it should be done in, and the median there don't get the job, then maybe we need to have another conversation. But I would not say that just because there's 10 jobs available, that those jobs automatically should be given to a Bermudian. I think the Bermudian should go apply for the job, and if they have the necessary skill sets to do that job, then they should be given the opportunity to do the job. Why I said they should be given the job? First of all, there's a probationary period. And under the agreements, it's normally 3 months. I think on the Employment Act, it's 6 months. So the employer's now got 6 months to basically look at that worker to see whether or not they're working out, not working out, or whatever. So to say that, Mr. Frebert makes the grade, but I don't think he's quite there. But if I'm not quite there, give me the opportunity first. And then maybe with some encouragement from the people that I'm working with or the supervisor, superintendent, maybe I do end up cutting the grade. But I think that by and large, Bermudians have, you know, a good work ethic. Whilst we may have a small percentage, you can't tell me that small percentage destroys the 40 rest. I'm sorry. No one could convince me of that. Can't happen.
Now, one other question. What is the union doing? Because the government and employers are claiming that Bermudians don't have the skills. What is the union doing to assist their members in improving their skill sets?
Well, let me say this to you, right? We have, in the collective bargaining agreement, we have an article called training. And it was put there many, many years ago, probably 20, 30, 40 years ago. And the reason why that article was put in there is basically so the management team could train their worker to equip themselves to perform to higher levels within the service of that employer. So if the employer is not using that article because we've had, you know, our members who have been to the employer to say, you know what, you promised training, they haven't had training yet. And sometimes this goes on for 5 years or more, you know, where they promise training and the member don't get the training that's required. So the union has basically done it what it needed to do a long time ago. Put the training article in the book. Now it's up to the employer, the shop steward's on the job, the organizers here, and myself. That training article is handled by management and had it. And if it's not done, then ultimately it's either the union that's falling short and does do this, making sure that the collective bargaining agreement is followed, or the employer who's falling short, who's not fulfilling the obligation because they both signed that agreement in good faith.
Thank you.